And when the Lord brings those, any requests on your heart when you're at home through the week, wherever you're at, I'm sure you guys know, but just to remember to stop and pray for whatever he lays on your heart. Well, we're going back into Nehemiah. We're going to start in chapter 3 and just review a little bit so we don't just stomp into new ground. But in chapter 3, this is when the building is begun. And remember, we're not just talking about coming in and building gates and walls. And this is all about separation and our separation unto God. We've been sanctified to God. And it's like we're set apart for him to bring fruit unto him. Anytime you make a commitment like that to the Lord, the adversary is going to fight. But he is going to rebuild the temple. And the very first part of it, we talked about it. It was the sheep gate. God always has a beginning of his building. And every one of us knows salvation, we entered in and we become his sheep of his pasture. And it's like we come into that gate because he is the door. He's the one who died for us. And the sheep gate speaks of Calvary. You go on in and you talk, then you go into resurrection, and that's coming up out of judgment waters. That's the fish gate. And we know that we are justified. We've been raised up again. And I always say that we were raised up once with him on the cross, but when he died, he was buried. He rose up. We rose up again with him. And Paul brings that out in his word too in Romans. But then we go from that to the valley gate. And we talked about in chapter 3 in the beginning, priests make good builders. Because not only are these priests just building, they are in practicality. They're allowing this message to get down in the heart. They are separated unto God. But we'll see today that the adversary, you remember when Jesus was in the wilderness and he was led of the Spirit. And when he got there, he was tempted. And when he was tempted, at the end of it, he had to have angels minister to him to strengthen him. But it said Satan only left for a season. Well, that's the same thing in a committed life unto God. You'll have the peace of God, and the adversary comes in. But we have to remember, put on the whole armor of God. We have what it takes, but God said, put it on. Come to him by prayer, thanksgiving. The valley gate, the priests are aware, and I believe just like a pastor or a teacher or you share with your friends, that priestly minister knows the importance of a valley gate. We have to be willing to enter into these valley experiences, because when we go in the valley, we have much more stuff. Five much more is of Romans chapter 5. We come out with much more than we went in with. And why is that? The one in verse 3, the valley gate repaired Hanan. And his name means gracious or merciful. He has received God's grace. He understands that we are vessels of mercy. And when he's weak, he'll be strong in the Lord. He'll give him the grace that's needed to continue on in this walk. Then you go to verse 14, and we talked a little bit about that, the dung gate. But they have to do this in practicality. It's the second part. You count all things but loss. You understand Philippians 3. It's for the lovers of the horse, lovers of a race to win Christ as your bridegroom. And the bulk of the church does not even know that there is a race to be run. It's all stuck on just being saved. So here is the dung gate. Well, we don't want to get caught up in I had to give this up and I gave that up and I gave. No, the dung gate is we count. We reckon with God because God gives us something so much greater. It's not what we give up. We don't give up anything. When we're allowed to go through these experiences, he gives you much more than you would have had, and you don't even miss that anymore. But he has to do a work in your heart, because if he doesn't, you won't even want to walk in the new way. You see, his ways are so much different. So when you go in and it's a dung gate, we're talking about a royal line people here. These priests know what they're doing. They're walking in the truth of it. They're building on. They've continued. Now they get to the gate of the fountain, which we talked about, being filled with the Holy Ghost. But there's a continual filling. We need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So then it was, I like the name Shallun, Shallun. The gate of the fountain repaired by this person, his name meant complete, perfect, prosperous. There was a recompense. It also means agreeable, agreeable. He is doing the gate of the fountain. That's, you're being led of the Spirit. And when we are being led of the Spirit, we don't walk after the flesh. We walk after the Spirit. We're led. And then it says there was the gate of the fountain. But I like it because he came back to, they built the wall of the pool. There's the complete provision we get to enjoy. But there was the king's garden was there. There was also access. And we talked a little bit about access last week. But that access went, it says, to go down from the city of David. But when you have access, what does that mean? These priests were not just good builders. They were not just good walkers of the truth. These priests, if you look in verse 28, they knew what it meant from above the horse gate. Prepared the priest. They know there is a race to run. This is royal priesthood here. And there's your Philippians chapter 3. And now we're going to go on and we're going to get into chapter 4. And this is opposition is going to increase, but we are victors in Christ and we will have the victory. In chapter 4, opposition returns once again. Remember, they were mocked before, persecuted, disdained. Well, this says, but it came to pass when Sanballat, and that's that thorn again, heard that we builded the wall. When he heard it, okay, now say this in your own life. You've made this commitment. You've believed that you are saved. You've come into that sheep gate, or you've been filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. Or you're swimming and enjoying. You're going into the depths of God's love. The adversary is going to come in. And he's going to mock you and taunt you once again. Well, but it came to pass that Sanballat heard that we builded the wall. When he heard that, he was wroth. He took great indignation and he began to mock the Jews. And here's what he said to them. Several things, and these things are going to happen in our life. He spoke before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what are these feeble Jews? What do they think they're doing? They're feeble Jews. See, they're having it point to the Jew instead of pointing it to the one who truly has done this, the one that they're believing in. But they go, these feeble Jews, what are they going to do? They going to fortify themselves? Is that what they're going to do? Strengthen themselves? Are they going to do this in themselves? See, everything is pointing to them. And they're standing there mocking them. It's like, so you really think you're going to do this? Think something in your life that God has laid on your heart. Have you ever been mocked and persecuted because God revealed that to your heart? And he'll even show us we can have the wrong attitude sometimes. And these things, we don't want these found in our life. It's like, well, they're so feeble. There's no way they can do it. But see, we know Philippians 4:13. I can do all things. But it's not through me. It's not through my works. It's by believing the works that Christ has done. He'll give me the strength. When I'm weak, then am I strong. But if you notice, when you hear these verses, and we said, put on the whole armor, and we have to know this truth. How are you going to react to opposition? What are we going to do with it? Because that matters. But if we don't know what God says, his grace will abound. He giveth more grace. When I'm weak, then am I strong. This is what they had to believe. They have to believe that God is in charge. This is His. But we have to believe that we have been set apart. Every one of these things is going to be practicality in a believer's life. Well, look at these feeble Jews. What are they going to do? Oh, will they sacrifice? Come on, you really believe in the sacrifice? Have you ever been there? I've been told before that, oh, that cross, that's just the bloodiest thing. How could anyone think that the shedding of blood is going to bring somebody into victory? How could they think that the one who's on a cross is dead and that's going to give them life? How can they rejoice in such a silly thing? Because when you think about this, they're running a race. What are they running to do? They're running to win him as their bridegroom. But see, they're looking at him like, what a fool. This sacrifice to them is foolishness. But to us, the cross is not foolishness. This is, to me, gold. This is gold that really cannot be touched, but he's going to make it more real and purify this in our heart. I like this part. Will they make an end in a day? See what they do? They're pointing at the people again, the Jews. Oh, are they going to do this in a day? They're doing something. They're looking at time. How long is it going to take you to do that? How long is it going to take you to build these walls and these gates? You going to do it in a day? You see, God, when you really point this back to God, our times are in His hand. He will do it in His time, not in man's time, not what people think. Well, if they said it, why hasn't it happened? Why don't they get it completed? All in a day. And then they say, will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? What do they think is going to happen? See, how many times do people, when you try to walk with God, they bring up your baggage. They bring up all those old things that you used to do, or maybe a mistake you made yesterday. They always try to throw those things, the devil, back in your face. It's like, no, they're going to pull up that rubbish. They really think that they're puny little selves, and who are they? Think of Paul. He was Saul. Does Saul really think that something good's going to happen to him just because he was struck down on the road to Damascus? I mean, you think this is experimental. This is practicality we're talking about. And I love this one because I go, Lord, please don't let me say this. Please don't let this be on my mouth. Now, Tobiah the Ammonite was by him. So when it says he was by him, what was he doing? He was mocking the Jews, making fun of everything they did. And he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, just a little fox, if a fox goes up, he'll even break down their stone wall. You see, what is he saying? I've heard this before. Oh, I've seen that in so-and-so's life before. They didn't go on with it. They didn't continue. And he said all it took was one little trial, the little fox that spoils the vine, and they'll quit again. Well, you know what? We are growing up in him. If I have these words on my mouth, then I am walking in self-righteousness. We are not to be saying, well, I just heard a long time ago, well, so-and-so, we prayed for them, they don't want to change. How do you know they don't want to change? Did God make us gods that we know they don't want to change? All the years that I didn't change in a lot of areas, my mom was continuously praying for us, all of her children. But I wasn't going to change, but I wanted to. That's the part people didn't understand. Why doesn't she want to interact? Why doesn't she want to come from the back of the church and come up here with the rest of them? Because God was doing a work. I've heard this before. I've seen it before. You could take me. I'll use me as an example. Oh, she said she was going to come to church on Wednesday night. Well, she's not here again. Well, honey, let me tell you something. The battle is still on. But I'm learning from all this. We get our eyes on the person instead of him. It's his work. He's working a work in each life. And yeah, we are responsible. Once we know, we are responsible for that. And I'm the first to tell you. Well, what's going to happen? We want victory, right? Are we just going to stand there and let people keep mocking and saying these things to us? What are we going to do? Don't fight the battle. With their words, they're coming against. You don't even have to explain your circumstance to anybody. If someone comes up and says, well, I thought, or well, I heard they, you don't have to defend yourself. You really don't. You don't have to explain. They could say, people that were saying those things to them, they didn't have to come up there and defend themselves and say, well, this is how we're going to do it. You're not going to come out and fight with your words against me. They didn't. But hear, O God, verse 4, Nehemiah goes to God and he begins to pray, but he was saying, for we are despised, turn their reproach upon their own head. And you think about that. Sometimes we think, well, it should be this way. Well, hear, O God. God knows and sees the whole thing, but our victory is we are crying out to him. Do you know that when it's victory and we're praising him, what is that? That's because your eyes are on him. When you don't, you get your eyes off the victor and the prize that is set before you, what do? We begin to murmur and complain. But he's praying, that's going to be his victory. But God said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. I'm thankful that he does repay, but I think those of us who do, we love the grace of God. I don't want anybody to have to hurt just because they hurt me. I don't want them to hurt like that. If it really hurt you bad enough, why would you want your brother or sister to have to go through that suffering? He said, so they built the wall in verse 6, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. But here it comes. Now they've turned it over to God. Have you ever put something in the Lord's hands? You have prayed about it. Do you think the adversary is going to stop now? They are set to continue. We are separated unto God, and we are going to continue in the work that he's given us. But it came to pass that when Sanballat, here he is again, do you think he's going to quit? These people and these things, these thorns in the flesh, all the stuff, that's all it is. But it's to make us to where he's working the work till one will overcome these things. How are we handling opposition? You have to be trained, even in the military. They don't just put you out in battle and not teach you anything about a gun or anything about the battle. You better know who your adversary is. It came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being made up and the breaches began to be stopped, they became very mad. They became angry, wroth. And here's what they did. Our adversary, now there's going to be an outward actual fighting. Oh, we're not just going to use our words against you. We're going to fight you. Well, the battle is the Lord's. They conspired all of them together to come and to do what? Fight. Fight against Jerusalem. Why? To hinder it. Why is our adversary attacking us time and time again? It's to hinder. It's to hinder us. But if we do what God says, we stand in the truth, he'll be hindered. But we don't come against the adversary like we think we can win. We have to just stand knowing we have won through him, and he will defend us. He said they are going to come. They're going to fight against them. Nevertheless, here we go. Nevertheless, what are they going to do? We made our prayer unto God. What do we hear in the scripture? Continue in prayer. I'd like someone to read continue in prayer. Let's see. I wrote this two verses down. Will someone read Colossians 4:2? Because we need to continue in prayer, not just one time before a battle. This is a continuance. Colossians 4:2. Somebody read. George, you got it? You're reading another chapter. Colossians 4:2.
Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving.
There you go. Continue, watch, and do it with thanksgiving. Why? God's got this. And this doesn't happen overnight. This is trial upon tribulation and tribulation because he's working a patience. And just for a little example, and I can't tell you exactly what it was, but something even happened yesterday. And all night in my sleep, all the enemy was just fighting and telling me this and telling me that. And I go, Lord, I got to get up in the morning and teach Sunday school. Well, he giveth the strength. You see, he doesn't just give you a message and not make it real in your heart. And so they're coming in and all this happened. And I'm going, where is it? As soon as I said, where is this? The adversary came in and he puts what? Thoughts in our mind. And he says, you know, so-and-so probably did it. Oh, I bet it was so-and-so. Now, what do we do with those kind of thoughts? Casting down every thought, every imagination. That what? It's coming against the knowledge of God. Those thoughts are not his thoughts. And I kept saying, no, I can't accuse. I cannot blame. There is no proof. There's no proof. And I thank God. This morning I just said, Lord, I know you know where that is. And I know you can help me. It's in your hands. I go, I have to leave this alone. Because I kept thinking of corruptible things. And incorruptible. Those are greater treasure. And about that time, the Lord told me where it was. And I found him. But, so then the enemy comes in again to the mind. What about the other two? And I go, the same God that found this two will tell me where the other two are. And if I don't find them, you don't take power and authority over God's house. God is the God of the house of God. And we have to, it becomes so sweet when you yield to it and know who he really is in your life. So they went through prayer unto God and they set a watch against them day and night because of them. Here comes Judah. What does Judah mean? Praise. Judah means praise. And I'm sorry, we forgot the other verse, but you can look it up yourself. Judah means praise. The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. Who's talking? Judah? You're supposed to be praising the Lord, the victor. You're the worshiper, the praisers. And instead, they're saying the strength of the bearers of the burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish. Who told them that? What are they going to do with the rubbish and these stones? See, now they got their eyes on themselves too. They bought into the lie of Satan, and that's what he's going to do to us. He's going to try to get us to think, yeah, you really can't do it. You know, they probably were right. But in that mind that God has given us, he said, no, my sheep know my voice. You know that I told you this. Stand, having done all to stand. Well, they come in and their words now, as a man thinketh, so is he, so that we're not able to build the wall. Remember Joshua and Caleb? Caleb had a right spirit, and I always know that the Lord showed me Joshua represents Christ, and Caleb is a man of faith. 2, Those were the two that entered into the land of Canaan. And it's Christ helps us to enter. He made it to where we can. It's the one with the right spirit, Caleb, who's going to enter in. And it's the other ones of doubt and fear and worry who are going to say, it is a land. Oh, it flowed with milk and honey. It's, oh, the fruit abounds there, but there's giants. We're not able. We're not able to do this. See, now they're beginning to say, that's not words of faith. We're defeated. And here's their other words. Judah. And they say, and our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst of them, and we go, and we're going to slay them and cause the work of them to hinder? No. To cease. That you'll just say, forget it. Throw in the towel. I'm done. Anybody ever said that? And God, by his grace, came in and told you, you're not done. It came to pass when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all the places which you shall return unto us, they will be upon you. So the enemy's fear tactic. He's come in, and now they've bought into the lie. And he said, here it was always. Our life is continually before God. And the opposition is worsening. As we begin to grow up in the Lord, the trials get a little tougher. But we have to remember God's word. God has already told us through the word, or he'll even remind you at the time you need it, I won't put more on you than you are able to bear. I give you the ability to overcome. You cannot overcome in yourself. You cannot change the flesh. You must believe. Lord, I believe. Savior, raise my faith in thee. I want to know him more and more and more. This is my praise. This is my worship. This is everything we are, full provision. It's not that we have to go out and say, oh, I want to go to a church that's prosperous. I want this. There's going to come a time that they're going to have to. You see, the peers are always going to be there. At this time, this is the Jews themselves. Others that had been walking with them and building. And here's Judah coming in and speaking the very words that the adversary or their enemy had said to them. Your peers are not always going to stand with you. And if you put your confidence in that, I remember, well, Brenda sent me a little, she sends me a verse, but she said, he is my only peace. And you know, that's real. He is my only peace. He is my fortress. He's my high tower. I know, but I like that friend, and I like this one, my pastor, whoa, and I like this person. Don't do that, because if you do, don't put them on a pedestal. That is unfair to anybody. It'll make them fall. And God allows these things, so you put your total dependence in him, not in a person. Not in a thing. Some of the things that are, well, make things overcome. What if they were all gone? What if they all left? Didn't have that no more. Now what? You see, we have to rely on the Lord and continue in prayer. Don't buy into the lies. Continue in praise and victory, and I know that your eyes will be upon him. He is my victor. We will be strong in the Lord. We can overcome. We can enjoy the land. We can take our place in the heavenlies. We can be seated with him. God allows this so our confidence is continually, it's in him, him alone. Don't fall. If you're looking at a peer, say you're walking with 4 people, and you're walking with them, and you need their approval. I got to have your approval, because if I don't, I'm kind of going to be out here on a limb all by myself. That's not very fun. I need your approval. No, you don't, says God. I am your approval. Just like Paul said, I don't even judge my own self. It's God, whether he did something good or whatever. It was all pointed back to the Lord. And I remember my Aunt Leela, and I'll share this. When I began to walk with the Lord, I hid behind her every time. I sat by her at church. I'd hide behind her if Eula looked at me and was going to call on me to pray. I just tell her, no, do not. If she calls on me to pray, you pray for me, okay? And she goes, all right, don't worry, honey, because if you worry, you're not going to enjoy this lesson. And I go, don't let her touch me because she has so much power in that vessel. And she goes, I won't. And one day the Lord said, you got to cut that apron string. And that's not an easy thing. Because you have to learn to stand in him and him alone. And that was the day when Eula called on me to pray. It was like, am I going to pray or am I just going to hide behind her back forever? No, I have to take a stand. And the Lord did it. Abraham and Lot. Abraham was a good uncle. And he had old Lot. But there came a day they had to separate. He brings that. So we have confidence in the Lord. And it doesn't mean it's a forever thing. It doesn't. But it'll teach you that you need to pray. You need him. You're watching. You're praising in the midst of the storm. Faith is going to praise our Redeemer. I know my Redeemer liveth. He is alive. And the life we now live, we are living by the faith of the Son of God, who loved us and gave himself for us. You see, he died for me, that all these gates can become so practical and so real in our lives. And we'll start next week on the next verse, and I believe it's the lowly place. So, that'll be interesting. Let's all stand for a word of prayer.